On this episode of the Soundtrack News, the 12 biggest film sync licensing trends, Elaine Carandru to be honored at World Soundtrack Awards, and Bear McCreary drops a live Battlestar Galactica album featuring Katie Sackhoff. Welcome to the Soundtrack News for this June 2nd, 2021. I'm Dane Walker. My co-host and co-producer Christopher Coleman is taking the night off. Actually, he's on an adventure through the land that is the United States, and I'm sure he's listening to soundtrack music as I speak. On the Soundtrack News, we feature recent news from the world of film, television, and video game music, as well as the latest details about new and upcoming soundtrack releases. In our first story this week, Digital Music News has released an article titled The 12 Biggest Film Sync Licensing Trends. This article provides an in-depth look at the film space's most noteworthy sync licensing trends of 2021 based on a detailed breakdown from the creative director of music and sound design at Sung Zhu. First, number one, less is more. Paired back textual scores are on the rise. A growing collection of composers and music supervisors are demonstrating a clear-cut preference for subtle, paired-back textual scores as opposed to more built-up and technically multifaceted pieces. Soft piano, violin, viola, and cello notes set the mood in Nomadland, which was composed by Ludovico Einaudi from his previous albums and took home a Golden Globe. Similarly, The Father, also composed by Einaudi and nominated for a Best Motion Picture Drama Golden Globe and Best Picture Oscar, encompasses a classic string and piano-driven score, along with opera tracks on the licensed music front. Number two, orchestral renditions of throwback hits continue to make a splash. Orchestral arrangements of yesterday's most popular songs regularly appear in film today. Produced by Margot Robbie and composed by Anthony Willis, the critically well-received Promising Young Woman, yet another Best Motion Picture Drama Golden Globe and Best Picture Oscar nominee, features a string version of Britney Spears' Toxic. Additionally, Michael Andrews, the composer behind Judd Apatow's The King of Staten Island, enlisted a string quartet to cover the Red Hot Chili Peppers' Scar Tissue. Number three, licensed music focuses upon nostalgia and old soul music in particular. Due to natural creative inclinations and quite possibly a pandemic-prompted desire to reflect upon simpler times, sync licensing trends are pushing nostalgia-heavy tracks to the forefront of movies' licensed music offerings. To be sure, Sound of Metal, which arguably relies upon music to tell its story more than any other listed film, boasts the Commodore's soulful classic This Love, as well as Careless Love from blues legend Bessie Smith and Spike Lee's The Five Bloods, licensed Marvin Gaye tracks. Importantly, though, nostalgic songs needn't be old, as Her proved by releasing the Oscar-winning Fight for You for Chaka King's Judas and the Black Messiah. Number four, COVID restrictions and precautions spur a pivot to smaller orchestras and fewer instruments. The score production process changed dramatically amid the pandemic, as both COVID restrictions and safety-minded precautions spurred a pivot away from large orchestras, and people began using smaller ensembles. Many musicians received mic kits so that they could record their parts at home, and as proven by works including the aforementioned all-string rendition of Toxic, the pandemic impacted the creative and practical sides of the scoring and placement process. Number five, pre-scores. In spite of creative pitfalls, they remain common. In spite of the potential pitfalls that the music at hand might not suit the film in the director's view, pre-scores, or those which are created before or while a movie is shot, are still being used. But as many of 2021's other sync licensing trends emphasize, customization and personalization, it's possible that pre-scores could become less prevalent in the approaching years. Number six, original protest tracks take center stage. In one of the visual media spheres, especially in noteworthy sync licensing trends, protest tracks and significantly original songs are taking center stage. Besides the previously noted Fight for You and Judas and the Black Messiah, Celeste recorded three songs for the trial of the Chicago 7, and Leslie Odom Jr. co-wrote the Oscar-nominated Speak Now with Sam Ashworth for One Night in Miami. Number seven, don't call it a comeback. Ancient instruments return to the silver screen. As part of an overarching effort to diversify films' music and help scenes to strike the perfect emotional tones, composers are utilizing ancient instruments, while some music supervisors are seeking out songs featuring seldom-used instruments. Though Benjamin Franklin's glass harmonica has yet to resurface in on-screen music, The Five Bloods' music features multiple ancient instruments, and the James Newton Howard-composed News of the World tapped the viola d'amore and the viola da gamba to create less expression and give a more drone-like tone. Number eight, licensed tracks Diegetic music and original songs are bleeding into scores. Gone are the days of film scores standing entirely on their own. In many instances, as today's quick-moving movies commonly fuse licensed tracks, diegetic music, and original songs to create a more cohesive final product that perfectly captures the director's vision. Consequently, composers and supervisors are beginning to factor not only for how music will bode for a movie, but how it will mesh with the movie's other audio components. Number 9, the rise of historical films bring the rise of soundtracks influenced by different eras. Predictably, the industry-wide rise of historical films and period pieces, such as The Trial of the Chicago 7, set in the late 1960s, Mank, which was set in the 1930s and 40s, and more, has brought with it the rise of soundtracks influenced by different eras. Because contemporary creators like her can draw from a century of rich musical history while conceiving unique ideas and using cutting-edge technology to bring multifaceted works to life, the future of songs and film looks brighter than ever. Number 10, vocalists are being cast to emote protagonists in scores. Film professionals are casting vocalists to emote film's protagonists in scores, adding another layer to movies' appeal and making it easier for viewers to connect with and relate to characters as well as works themselves. Promising Young Woman and Birds of Prey may demonstrate the development best in terms of recent releases, and it'll be worth watching how this, one of the most nuanced sync licensing trends of 2021, impacts plot-driven projects moving forward. Number 11, comic book movies and action blockbusters still prefer epic orchestral themes. Despite these sync licensing trends and the difficulties presented by the pandemic, comic book movies and action blockbusters are continuing to keep viewers on the edge of their seats with epic orchestral themes. In many ways, Hans Zimmer is the genre, and a collection of widely appealing box office successes have foregone melody in favor of strong chord progressions and ostinatos. And finally, number 12, reboots reimagine themes and songs from original films. Reboots like Mortal Kombat, the original movie released in 95, Mulan, the original came out in 98, and Wonder Woman 1984 are reimagining themes and songs from their initial iterations with an emphasis on comparatively fresh music. The point, though perhaps obvious, bears reiterating at a time when modern takes on old concepts are particularly popular, artists and composers could secure the opportunity to develop music for the very characters and works that captivated their imagination as children and young adults. In our second story today, Eleni Kerendrew is to be honored at the World Soundtrack Awards. This article comes to us from ScreenDaily.com. Greek composer Eleni Kerendrew is set to receive the Lifetime Achievement Award at the 21st World Soundtrack Awards. The ceremony is the traditional closing night event of the Filmfest Ghent, October 12th through 23rd, and is scheduled to take place as a physical event this year. It will be held at the Opera House in Ghent for the first time. Kerendrew is best known for her longtime collaboration with Greek director Theo Angelopoulos. The pair have worked together on 8 films, including Palme d'Or winner Eternity and a Day, and Oscar nominee The Weeping Meadow. Other filmmakers she has worked with include Chris Marker, Jules Dassin, Margaret Von Tretta, and Terrence Malick on his upcoming feature currently titled The Way of the Wind. 2 of her compositions were also used in Mad Max Fury Road. At the ceremony, a selection of her work will be performed by the Brussels Philharmonic and conducted by Dirk Brosset, with Kerendrew herself accompanying on piano. The 2020 ceremony was live-streamed for the first time, with a limited audience in attendance due to COVID-19 restrictions. Last year's recipient of the Lifetime Achievement Award was Gabrielle Yared. And finally, our third story for this week comes from Sci-Fi Wire. Battlestar Galactica composer drops live BSG album featuring Watchtower with Katie Sackhoff. Composer Bear McCreary started off his songwriting career working on Battlestar Galactica, and while he's since gone on to compose for other shows, including Outlander, The Walking Dead, and most recently Masters of the Universe Revelation, his work on BSG remains close to his heart. It's been over a decade since the show first aired, but McCreary, who has previously talked about his BSG time on Sci-Fi Wire's Battlestar Galacticast podcast, is revisiting the soundtrack by releasing live versions of 13 of its songs. In an interview with IO9, McCreary shares how the album So Say We All, Battlestar Galactica Live, came to be, and what it was like having Katie Sackhoff come on stage to play All Along the Watchtower. The origins for So Say We All started back during season 2 of Battlestar Galactica, when McCreary started doing live concert for each season's soundtrack release. Quote, every year we would get together and play the score, and the concerts just got bigger and bigger, McCreary told IO9. By the end of the run in 2009 and 2010, we were doing really large shows that felt like giant rock concerts, unquote. McCreary had a blast with the live concerts, but decided to focus on composing for film and television rather than taking his BSG show on the road. He still has those recordings from those live performances from a decade ago, however, and he wanted to share them with the world. So say we all, Battlestar Galactica Live is a fulfillment of that dream, and BSG fans now have the chance to listen to live versions of their favorite tracks. The All Along the Watchtower rendition even includes Starbuck herself, Katie Sackhoff, in a video of the song, which you can find on YouTube. You can see Sackhoff sitting at the piano with McCreary, recreating a scene from Season 4 when Starbuck, spoiler, plays the tune that makes the OG Cylons take notice. So take a moment and check out that scene. So Say We All, Battlestar Galactica Live will be available on June 4th at McCreary Sparks and Shadows website, as well as via most streaming services. All episodes of Battlestar Galactica are now streaming on Peacock. Since Chris is out of town, I'm going to take a break from offering opinions on the news articles that I just read, except to say that I would hope that some of you would reach out to us with your opinions on those things. Perhaps we can have a conversation together on Twitter or Facebook, where we appear. So I will move on now to new releases. Our first new release, the soundtrack for Mayor of Easttown by Lele Marchitelli, was released by Water Tower Music on May 30th and is available everywhere. I took a moment to listen, and I especially enjoyed the track Aaron Attacked. It was beautiful music. I think it's really good. This is my kind of style that I personally would like to be writing in myself. Nicholas Britell's score for Cruella was released by Walt Disney Records on May 21st everywhere. This is a fun score to listen to. I urge you to check it out. And finally, Hollywood Records released James Horner's score for The Rocketeer, the complete score. This was originally a two-disc set. On May 28th, they released this remastered version everywhere digitally. I urge you to check that out. I listened to it the other day, and it just brought back all the good memories of that movie and also brought back how much James Horner is missed. And that'll do it. Thank you for listening to this episode of the Soundtrack News. You can find all episodes at soundtracknews.com. Please subscribe wherever you find podcasts, and do take a moment to rate us and leave us a review. That does help us out. If you have soundtrack or composer-related news that you'd like us to talk about, you can send it to thesoundtracknews@gmail.com or follow us on Instagram @soundtracknews or on Facebook. You can also find more Soundtrack News and discussion by following us on Twitter @TrackSounds. This podcast is produced and hosted by Christopher Coleman, and you can follow him on Twitter @CColeman. And I, Dane Walker, am the co-host and co-producer, and you can follow me @MaestroDane on Twitter. And with that, it's time to say goodbye, and I promise you that next week, Chris Coleman will join me. So tune in when we can again be the dynamic duo.